Pittsburgh Steeler fans, welcome back to part two of the Scobro Show. This is Behind the Steel Curtain editor Dave Schofield. With me, as always, my big brother Rich. Rich, still doing great.
Welcome to the Scobro Show. Because okay. I got to say that the second half now because I got to breathe in that.
I was going to say it was such a big victory. Breathe it in again, bro.
That was a good one.
It really was.
You just should have heard what Kyle and I sounded like in our living room because, you know, we got that lead 13-10 and the defense comes out and I'm like, okay, let's hold them and get the ball back and get down, score a touchdown. Not only that, when they blocked that punt, you should have heard the two of us.
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. Yes. It was the punt. That's another thing I wanted to talk about. I was not sure if the offense could get enough done in this game. The offense scored on every possession they had in the second half, except when they took victory formation. Now they only got one touchdown.
Right. But that also goes to show those changes that went on at halftime.
Yeah. Those changes that went on at halftime, which I never thought of that till you brought that. If you're stumbling onto part two and didn't catch part one, you got to go back and do it because Rich brought up the point of did the Steelers specifically have a different game plan for the second half because they know how much much the Bills are notorious for halftime adjustments. And that was a really good point. Very good point. If that's it, that's one of those one step ahead coaching moves, if that's what they did. But even if it wasn't, I like it. But at the same time, what the offense had to do in the second half was what are defenses trying to do to the Steelers? They're crowding the line of scrimmage to take away the run and the short pass.
Correct.
Because they don't think that you're going to beat them otherwise. The Steelers had to get the ball beyond the box is the basically the way to say it. They mm-hmm. had to get the ball beyond the box, extended to both sidelines. Because, I mean, if all you're doing is pitching the ball out 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage or two yards past the line of scrimmage all the way to the sideline, that's not much either. You had to get that ball past that zone and actually to exploit that defense. If you want to know what you're talking about, did you watch the whole Monday night game last night?
I saw very little of the Monday night game last night, actually.
Yeah.
I turned it on, I was
You able saw to the actually, turnstile, right?
I saw the turnstile at right tackle for the Ravens. Yeah. So that was pretty.
Yes.
Yeah. I think I got to see about 20 snaps total.
Yeah.
And like three or four of them involved the turnstile.
Oh, well, I mean, I was working on stuff for the site, but I made sure I was tuned into the last 5 minutes of regulation and in overtime. And on the second touchdown, if you know what I mean, if you saw highlights where the Raiders scored a touchdown, the guy was down. I felt the ball should have been spotted at the half-yard line. They put it at the one. They only get a half-yard of the next play. Then the penalty, then the turnover. Anyway, but on the touchdown that ended the game, Baltimore had everyone at the box. And all the Raiders had to do was run a play beyond it. And that's what they did. You know, now it's not going to be that easy because they completely sold out the Ravens had. But at the same time, that's kind of what the Steelers are going to need to do. They need to have that next level play because teams just don't believe that that's the way that the Steelers will be able to beat them. But, you know, the tight ends weren't targeted a bunch in the game, but when they were, it was huge. So offense,
what I call an intermediate pass to Ebron and one of those nice intermediate passes to Muth, and they were both perfect, just what we needed.
Yeah. And so I kind of want to, we didn't talk too much about the offense. So I wanted to do that before we move on to this week. And that is, you know, the 54 yards of offense in the first half. You know, that was the big talking point. Oh, this team can't score. But they scored on every drive. I have a hypothetical question for you.
Yep.
The Steelers get the big punt block and touchdown. If that's just a regular old punt, what do you think the offense would have done there?
Kick the field goal.
I think they would have got at least three.
Yeah.
So I still had the confidence in the offense there because that was still what the offense was attacking.
And we were going to have
a different mentality. Position. Yeah.
We were going to have decent field position.
And it was the offense was still an attack mentality. They did, I mean, they had a 3-point lead at the time, correct?
Yep.
If I recall right, when they
scored a touchdown on their previous possession.
Yep. Took the 3-point lead. I still think they wouldn't have been playing it taking it easy like they did when they got the ball the last time to go get the field goal. They weren't, I wouldn't say they weren't going for the jugular. They were doing what they needed to do, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I still had confidence that I think they would have put points on the board there because it seemed that the way things were going. Teams are going to see what the Steelers did in the second half there. And it's not like they were like, oh, lights out, super impressive. But they're going to say, hey, we got to be ready for this, that, or the other thing. I mean, how much confidence do you still have in this? Do you have in this offense right now after that game?
Well, see, they're what I didn't have a ton of confidence in going into the game. I didn't have a lot of confidence in them at halftime.
Yeah.
What the second half offensively gives me is a glimmer of excitement. The thoughts mm-hmm. of what could be.
Yes. Yeah, I liked.
Not what is. The
scheme. Yeah.
But they showed me what could be.
Yeah. And I mean, Kevin Dotson didn't have a very good game on the O-line. Dan Moore Jr.
I wouldn't call it an awful game, but he wasn't the dominating.
He wasn't the standout that you saw.
Correct.
Exactly. He wasn't. It wasn't like he was oh my goodness, look at what he just did there. I thought Trey Turner had some really good moments.
Yeah.
You know, Dan Moore struggled early, but did much better in the second half. Kendrick Green is a very emotional player. I think that's why he was pulled out for three plays. I think he was getting a little bit too much. But, I mean, he moves well in space. I mean, not just that Claypool run where if Claypool just would have used him a little bit better, they're like, oh, he missed the block. No, Claypool moved to where the guy could get around his blocker, you know?
Right. Claypool
could. You don't expect your lineman to move like your wide receiver.
Right.
Claypool should have. Still, he was out there. Oh, and almost.
Claypool could have set the guy up where the guy had no choice but to get blocked by Kendrick Green. I'm sorry, yeah. Quadrant Green.
Quadrant
Green. He did not. He chose to stretch it out to the outside, and as where if he would have just held it there for a second, gone straight up the field, would have forced the guy into Green. And he probably scores a touchdown.
Yeah. And that I actually said that to my dad. I'm like, that should have been a touchdown there. I'm like, if they don't get this touchdown, that's 4 points that they left on the field. And I feel like they did. They did leave 4 points on the field there.
To me, that is a difference between that being Chase Claypool coming around on that play.
Mm-hmm.
And Najee Harris coming around, or Ant Mac, or
yeah.
A running back would have set up the blocker. A wide receiver's not used to having a big lineman out there in front of
you. You are often. Completely right. I mean, unless you're running one of those wide receiver screens where they're zipping out there, you know, that you're right. They're not. That's not something that happens with them nearly as much as with the running backs. So you're spot on there. But I'm not going to criticize. I mean, it was still a fantastic play. You know what I'm saying? But not only that, Coach Tomlin said something today that was very important. He said about his young wide receivers and how they stuck with it. He's like, they didn't have a lot of opportunities in the first half. They really didn't. He said, but, you know, they weren't complaining. They weren't upset. They stayed mentally in the game. And then all of them were making big plays when they needed them in the second half. You know what I mean? So,
Deontay Johnson's circus catch for the touchdown was phenomenal.
I mean, people want to talk about the drops, but I mean, that wouldn't have even been a drop if he doesn't catch that ball, if you know what I mean, because I think the defender had his hand on it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But to come down with it, that was, you've got to remember those two.
Yep.
Even if it wasn't for a touchdown, if he just would have been a regular, you know, at a different spot on the field, that was a big play. Right.
Get that super chat, then let's transition.
Yeah, we got to transition. This is from Wilfredo Vasquez 11. $5 in the tip jar. Hope I got that name good. Thank you for that. It says, just logged in. I'll listen to this tomorrow while working. But, man, it's nice to smell victory. Here we go. There we go, bro. Yeah, it's still got to take smell that victory. Smell of victory. So yeah, the offense is a work in progress, and the defense, you're like, can they get better? Yeah, they can. I mean, they held the number two offense in the NFL last year that averaged over 30 points a game to 16 points.
Yeah.
And I took a still shot of it on that touchdown. TJ Watt beat the tackle so bad, the tackle reaches back and holds his shoulder and pulls Watt back. And there's no call when they throw for a touchdown. Uh-oh. If he doesn't do that, TJ gets a sack again.
Kyle, I think, was up to at least six blatant, obvious holds on TJ that weren't called.
And that was probably in the first quarter. You know what I mean?
Just that we're so blatant that my 15-year-old, who was not a football player, is like, there's a hold. Where's the flag? You know? Yeah.
Now, this is a good transition because this is something about moving forward.
Yes.
Do you think that TJ Watt, that one weakness to his game, I'm going to mention a weakness in TJ Watt. Maybe I shouldn't. I don't know. One weakness to his game. I
won't be able to use it against you to talk about, you know.
Yeah. I'm only a fair weather fan. Okay. And that is one weakness, the ability to sell the penalty. It's just a mentality. TJ doesn't try to sell the call. He just plays football. Do you think that costs him holds often?
Probably. I'm trying to remember who we saw yesterday. Was it Cam or Wormley? One of the two of them sold a hold on the line because as they started out, they turned, I think it was Cam, turned to go to the outside as the ball was thrown out there. The guy kind of had a hold of him, kind of, you know, back here by the shirt.
Actually, I think it was Wormley. I know what you mean.
And he threw his arms up in the air. Yeah, it was Wormley. Yeah. And he threw his arms up in the air. And I said to Kyle, some people would say he saw that call, but really what it was is he drew the attention of the referee who then saw the guy holding his jersey and threw the flag.
Exactly. Sorry, my buddy Chris says good night, Fairweather Dave. That's too much. But yeah, and that's the kind of thing you need. But
I also wondered that. Sorry, I'm gonna bring this one up. Okay. Oh, where did it go? I just skipped. There it is. Sean Manahan. I was thinking this yesterday. TJ's weakness is just too darn good. And the refs feel sorry for the O-line. The refs don't feel like throwing a flag on every single play.
Not only that, and I once again watched the game with my dad, pointed out to my dad, I'm like, you know, there's a hold that you didn't call when the offensive lineman does this.
Yes.
When the offensive lineman does it and then throws his hands up, guess what? He just held, and he knew he held, and everyone knows that he held, except for the person that didn't throw the flag. So I'm not saying
one of those yesterday. I think it was on. It was either on Ingram or Highsmith coming around from the right side.
Yeah.
And one of the guys kind of rode him for a little bit, and then it was like, oh no, they threw the flag.
Yes. So I have no problem if TJ doesn't do that. If he just goes out there and says, I'm going to beat you anyway, I understand. So
it's amazing how much he beats people being held the amount of time he's being held.
Yes. Yes. And this wasn't just a simple thing of, you know, when a player does a rip move and he gets arm barred by the tackle, they're actually allowed to do that. Okay. If he doesn't do the rip move, you know, with dipping his arm through, then they're not allowed to just keep their arm out. But they say that's a cause by the defense to put the offense's arm in that position, and therefore they're allowed to keep it there is kind of the way the rule works. I mean, I'm summing it up. I might not have it exactly right for you. But that wasn't the case with a lot of these holds. You know, I understand that some of the pictures with Watt in the past that you could see that. But so I'm okay if TJ doesn't try to sell the hold calls and he just goes out and does his thing. And you know what? Eventually he should get them because he doesn't try to sell them. Because, you know, it's kind of like taking the dive in soccer or that they've tried to cut out in hockey, if you know what I mean. Yeah. So I kind of, you know, when you're laying on the grass, writhing in pain, like you'll never be able to walk again, hoping a card comes out and then you just hop up and run down to kick the ball again. I mean, come on. You know, you don't need that. But seriously, in other words, Watt almost needs to draw more attention to himself than he already does in order for maybe the refs to pay attention. But got another one this week. And here's the thing. This is my thought when it comes to this game this week. I'm going to lay it on the line right now.
Okay.
Many Steeler fans, if you were to tell them that the Steelers were going to be 500 after their first two games, they would say, yeah, that sounds right. But they already won the one they weren't supposed to. So I'm going to tell you this. You can't lose this one. You can't win the game you were supposed to lose and then lose the game you're supposed to win.
Yeah.
So the Steelers right now are 5.5-point favorites at home. Not as much as what it was. I mean, honestly, that's how much the Ratbirds were favored in Vegas. And then Vegas beat them at home. This is in Pittsburgh. It's the same spread as, well, that spread moved around a lot. That was the one I got locked in on, which I picked the Raiders, by the way. I picked against the Ravens. I should have said more than anything. But this is a game that you can't let down and find a way to not bring this one home, finally being in front of fans at Heinz Field for the first time in almost 2 years. What do you think?
Yeah, they got to win this one. So, sorry, you said something and it made me want to bring something up today. So, you're actually going to people are probably giving me a hard time, but I made a conscious decision this morning. So, In my closet, I wear polo shirts to work most days. And in my closet, I have one purple polo shirt.
Mm-hmm.
That my wife bought for me at one point as a group. They're all kind of pastel-y. Yeah, I got a couple like pastel colors, like a nice blue, a purple, and I think there's a reddish or something that came kind of together as a group. I chose to wear my purple polo to work today.
Just to kind of rub it in a little bit.
Kind of to rub it into the couple Ravens fans that work at the school.
Yeah, just
but of course I wore the purple polo, but the face mask that I had to wear
was black and gold. There you go. That's funny. That's kind of like me. At one point I had just a plain purple t-shirt when I just got a bunch of t-shirts that were all, a whole bunch of different colors all together. That one got turned into my cooking / doing dishes / mowing grass shirt until it wasn't purple anymore. It was cruddy colored instead. I'm like, I'm not wearing that out in public, which is funny because my daughter actually has a purple Steelers hat. We got it off Steelers.com.
Yeah.
That she has a purple Steelers hat. My daughter's obsessed with the color purple, but her name is Violet. So I'm kind of okay with that, but she understands that it's not because of that team that's also in the AFC North. Back to this game.
All right,
back to this game. Okay.
Here's some – I got a couple of points I'll bring up, and they're probably some of the same things you want to bring up. First of all, the offensive line has to play well because what's that? Oh, now I lost his name. I was sitting there thinking of it, which is why I wanted to bring it up first.
You got Crosby. You've got Nassib. You've got – now.
No, it was Crosby. Crosby was just – I mean, he was just – playing, in a different gear last night.
Now, was he that good, or was the Ravens line that bad?
That's what I'm not sure about.
Because this is what I like.
He's the one
that
kept turning Big Al into the turnstile here and there.
I've said it. This will be four straight years now, four straight seasons that I've said this. Ever since I was started writing with Behind the Steel Curtain, your one stop shop with all things picks for one all things Pittsburgh Steelers.
Blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah. Week two is what puts week one into perspective.
Yep.
You know, I'll give you an NFC example. Were the Saints that good or were the Packers that bad?
Yeah.
Or is it a little bit of both? You got to see what they both do this week.
Yep.
You know, you can even look at the Steelers. The Steelers beat the Bills last week. The Bills traveled to Miami. If they stomped the Dolphins, well, first of all, the Steelers taking down the Bills might have done the Bills a favor. You know what I'm saying? It might have caused them to say, you know what? We're not, you know, we don't want to be paper champions. Let's get this together. But if they go down there and stomp the Dolphins, that puts more, you know, raises up that level of victory for the Steelers even more, if you know what I'm saying. If they go down there and go 0-2, you're like, you know, maybe that's not that impressive of a victory. It's kind of, it's when you beat a team that's supposed to be good, you beat them early in the season, and at the end of the year, in past years, because it was 16 games, the team ends up 4-12. That doesn't mean anything. Like when you beat a 2-0 team in week 3 and the team goes on to only win 6 games, that wasn't that big of a victory when it's all said and done. So we're going to start to get perspective with week 2. Now, this is the only AFC matchup this week of two teams that are 1-0. The only AFC matchup. There's two in the NFC, one in the AFC. So this is a big game. This is still a big game. But after you go out and take care of business in Buffalo, you can't get complacent. You've got to have a great week of practice and come home to do it at home, because you can't turn around and drop this one. Right?
That's right. That's right. You can't drop this one.
So you were exactly right with, I think, the most important place to look is going to be that tough defensive front of the Raiders going up against the Steelers offensive line.
Yes.
I think that's a key matchup. How do you feel
the
about
the other key matchup is just flip-flop the whole thing.
Yeah.
We have a chance for our defensive front to just totally obliterate the Raiders offensive line.
Yes.
Even more than what I think they could do to ours.
Yes. I was looking at PFF scores of offensive tackles. And the Raiders, you know, Leatherwood was the next to lowest score and everything. He was actually worse than Villanueva, who was really far down there. Villanueva had the worst pass blocking score of any tackle in the NFL this week. He had a 13.4. Nice. My goodness. But you got to, oh, Chris Hubbard played for the I didn't realize he played significant snaps. He played 39 snaps for the Brown team. Sorry, got distracted there. He didn't do very well. He's towards the bottom of the list. So that is something that's really important, is what are they going to do with their young tackle that's going to have to go out there and try to block one Trent Jordan Watt?
Yeah.
You know, you're exactly right. Can their offensive line handle the Steelers' defensive front?
Correct.
So
Honestly, the one person on their offense is, in air quotes, you know, scary.
Yeah.
For us. And who would that be?
That would be the quote unquote tight end, who's not really a tight end.
Correct. That would be Waller.
Mr. Waller. Coach Tom brought it up today. 19 targets last night.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, if you treat him like a tight end, you're going to get killed. But if you treat him, you know, he said he's the closest thing to Chase Claypool because of his size and everything, but yet he goes out and plays receiver. You've got to have a special plan for him. And they asked him about that special plan. He's like, I'm not telling you. He didn't say it that way. He's like, I'm not going to disclose that at this time. Thank you, Coach Tomlin. But, you know, he acknowledges that.
I won't disclose it at this time either. I have my thoughts on what the Steelers could do with him.
Yeah.
But I'm going to hold those to me because, you know, John Gruden's watching our podcast, and I don't want to give anything away.
Yeah, you don't want to let Gruden. No, sorry, I can't even do a Frank Caliendo impersonating John Gruden. I don't know if you realize that he released a video last night after the game.
Oh, did he?
Or it might have been this morning. Sometime. I saw it early this morning.
Yeah, when Caliendo like, yep, you got to get that done, man.
Yeah, so pretty good stuff. So I like that this is in Pittsburgh, but we know that traditionally, the Steelers have not done well against that team.
Raiders.
But you know what? They've never played them when they weren't in California.
Correct.
So maybe because it's the Vegas Raiders, it's a whole new thing. I still think they're the Oakland Raiders who play their games in Las Vegas. That's really who they are. Yep. But now you've got a game under your belt. The Steelers have to take the mentality of that wasn't the peak. That started the climb.
Yes.
You know, having that big of a win to start, that's not the peak. That just starts the climb. You must climb from here. You must work hard to get better. And
hey, there are guys on that team, like Cam Hayward, Ben Roethlisberger, some of those vet guys that would, after the game, I'm sure said, hey, you know, we expected to win. We don't go out there and think we're not going to win. We go out there and think we're going to win.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, we are to the time of the show where we want to try to make sure we give you guys enough time to get your scores in. Rich is about ready to give his score prediction for this week. I saved mine for the Steelers preview. Didn't have as much time to think about it as, you know, I mean, because really you couldn't do the score before last night's game. You had to see how your opposition looked. So, you know, with the Bills, I'd been thinking about it for a couple weeks. Luckily, I don't have mine yet, but I hope you'd have it. While you're thinking of it, I want to make sure that people know some things. First of all, if any of you are going to get to this game this weekend, fantastic. It's going
to
be a great
game. Time to bust out some Renegade.
Yeah, it's fantastic. If you're looking to go to a game later in the season, I still have two tickets available in the lower deck end zone for the Monday night game against the Bears and for the game in December against Tennessee. If you are interested in those, make sure you hit me up. You can hit me up on Twitter. It's on the screen if you're watching. It's at STLR Superfandad. If you want to email me, it's at ST, not at, take, at, what am I saying? It's STLR Superfandad at gmail.com. You can reach out to me there. I'm giving BTSC people the friends and family rate. Bottom line is I want people to be able to go. So if you're interested in going to those games, contact me and I'll get you all the information. Do you have another one available still?
Either, because I'm only getting rid of one more, okay, but I'm open as to which it would be. It would be the Denver Broncos game on October the 10th, mm-hmm, or the Cleveland Monday night game on January 3rd.
Gotcha. Okay. One or the other. One or the other. One so or if the you're other. Interested in any of those games, now your tickets are an upper deck.
Upper deck.
Yeah, mine are lower deck. So that's why they're a little bit price discrepancy, but it is what it is. Rich, I know there people were dying to do their scores. Some are already putting them in there.
Bring them up.
You might be new to this. You might be new to this. Okay, Kelvin Colbert Sr. says he's interested. Hit me up. Seriously. Make sure you do it. Do it now.
And if you want mine, go ahead and just hit Dave up and he'll get you to me.
Hit me up either way because I help broker his. But everyone's jumping in wanting to do their scores. Remember the rules. You might be new to this. I won't bring up any scores until I put the word scores in the live chat. Rich has to give us his first.
Yep. Ready? I've had this one ready for a little bit. Ready? This one, defense continues to dominate. Offense gets it together a little more, finds the end zone a little more often. Final score, Steelers 24, Raiders 14.
24-14 is your score. I now have it up in the live chat. I'm ready for the barrage. If you put it in there already, I'm not going to look at it. You'll have to do it again. Oh, what do you know? Who's first?
That's because, you know, that's my boy.
It's SCO 2.0. Kyle Schofield, 27-17. Defense comes in clutch. Start, you know. Do you think the Raiders are going to score more than the Bills?
Maybe they do.
I don't know.
Well, are you looking at that? Do they get a jump touchdown at the end of the game? See, that's part of what I'm thinking.
Exactly. So there you are. You have a 10-point win, 24-14. Kyle has a 10-point win, 27-17. Kree's got 10 points, 26-16 Steelers. Tyler W says 27-14. Garbage time Raiders TD. Yep. Exactly what you said. George Teston says 28-17. Steelers Pittsburgh. That was Steelers. If you don't put a team, we assume it's Steelers. Okay. 30-12 Steelers. Lake Effect Snow 1. I like that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
31-10 Steelers. Paul
Scherf.
Yeah. I almost said Sharif, but no, with the I's before the R. Sorry, Paul. 30-24 Steelers. Outside Steeler fan is Good Guys 27, Raiders 14. Justin Conway, 27-13 Steelers. Sean Manahan, 27-13 in favor of the Steelers. Christopher 11 says 31-17 Steelers. Steelers Freak says 24-10 Steelers. Joshua Rhodes, 35-17. Steeler Chick 46, 28-17 Steelers. Garrett Slingerland says 31-24 Steelers. I'm seeing a theme here. Do you see a theme?
Yeah.
Okay. David Poe says 31-16 Steelers.
No.
Did I get, oh, sorry. Stillers.
I got to say it right when they put
I'm not reading it with a team every time. I'm just saying the score more than
anything. I know.
Okay. Devin Logan says 21-13 Pittsburgh. Mark Derogatis. I almost said Derogatis, but I almost switched.
That's an A.
I had it. Yep. Okay. Steelers 28, Raiders 14. Going all touchdowns there. It was interesting to see the Raiders, you know, take that 55-yard field goal to tie the game. That was interesting. Kelvin Colbert Sr., 31-17 Steelers. Brick Quest with the Lego guy. My son would love that. 27-17 Steelers. Brian Brown, this is an interesting one. 24-6 Steelers. I can get behind that one.
Yeah, I can get behind that one. Like that.
Awesome stuff, 1983. Steelers 21-17. Kathy Forid. Steelers 27, Raiders 17. Was that Kyle's too?
Yeah, that was Kyle's. Yeah, that was Kyle's too.
Okay, I almost thought she had the same as you. Thanks, Mean Joe, 31-16. Knight Rider, 16. 26-21. See, when I say the numbers at the end of the name, it's screws up. Knight Rider says the score will be 26-21 Steelers. Brian Blackstock, 31-17 Steelers. Faustino Flores, 25-23 Steelers. Moneybags, 27-13 Steelers. Bully Mob Kennel, the artist formerly known as Solarverse, 31-6 Steelers. I like that one, too. Faceless Man, Steelers 38, Raiders 13. Wes, 42-14, two defensive scores, a Minka pick six, and TJ Scoop and score. He's going with five takeaways. That would be dominating defense. That would be dominating. You know what? I would love that outcome. I'd also be fine if the Steelers win by 1 point. The biggest thing is I want to be talking about a win.
Okay? I want to breathe.
Yes, you want to breathe that in. Greg Schellenberger, 28-25, black and gold, validating week one. I like that. Joshua Rhodes, 35-17 Steelers. Mark Davison, one of the blokes, 45-0. I'm holding you to that in the article. I'm Marky holding you to
D,
that.
You homer.
I'm holding you to that score. He picked the Steelers last week, I'm pretty sure. Gotta love it. Mark Tobin, 28-17 Steelers. He says Pierre gets a pick six and Najee runs for two TDs. Gotta remember that. The Steelers deploy things pretty interesting. They didn't bring Pierre in for nickel. They brought him in for dime and put Sutton back there in his role that he did the dime before. It worked out really well. I don't know if they'll do it all the time, but it worked out.
Jeffrey pointed that out.
Speaking of Jeffrey, he's coming up here. Okay. Reginald Rivers, 27-17 Steelers. Jeffrey Benedict, Steelers 13-7 on the last second TD to Najee. I'm holding you to that one, too, in the staff predictions there, Jeffrey. I'm going to see it in the article. Okay. Michael O'Malley says 35-17 Steelers. And George OTJ, 35-9 Steelers. Says a defensive score, another turnover that sets up another touchdown. DeMarcus says 42-10 Steelers. Jennifer, 21-10 Steelers. Hey, Felicia, 27-20 Steelers. And she changed her picture. That's great. So we can definitely say, hey, Felicia. Demetrios says 27-12 Steelers, all field goals for the Raiders. Okay. Illegal Italian, 16-13 Steelers. Ooh, interesting. Now people are coming. Another one, seeing if I find any more. Cree wants my email one more time. It's very simple. Cree. You see my Twitter handle there, STLR Superfan Dad, put on at gmail.com right after it. Okay. That's what we got. Jerry Cherry. Thank you, Jerry Cherry. 30-23 Steelers. Okay. Robert Jacobs, 24-10 Steelers. Did I skip? I don't think I skipped, did I? Robert Jacobs says 24-10 Steelers. Then we get Leon saying 24-13 Steelers win. Bala 23-20. I almost messed it up again with the name at the end. Says 23-20 Steelers. Okay. And I like the Akuda 70 says what I said. Who cares as long as they win? It's fun. It's fun to predict the score. That's what we're trying to do. But you know what? That's the big thing. David J. Renshaw, 31-14 Steelers. I saw another one there. Did you get that one?
That just put one up.
Did you? Oh, there it is. Mark Lee, 27-14 Steelettes. I know. It's a typo. I'm not going to give you a hard time, Mark. 27-14 Steelers. So, wow, you guys are really pouring these out tonight. Wayne Suki? Suchi? Wayne. We'll just say Wayne.
34-21
Duberg. Tony Ringor, 34-27 Steelers. Daniel Vaughn, 27-14 Steelers. Josh Parker, 28-17 Steelers with a Minka pick six.
And I got one more.
Yeah. You got one more. And that's Robert Jacobs, Steelers, 35-14. I tell you what. Woo! Man. You all did not disappoint there. You really poured out the scores. You're showing up.
I did notice one thing.
Answer the question from the
show. They are excited about the Steelers moving forward. You know how
is it too early to get excited?
No,
it's not too early.
Because every single pick was a Steelers win.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's because people are excited.
Because we're excited. And it's better, you know, you're excited after a big win. That's what you're supposed to be as a fan base. You know, you don't want to be excited and already have week one, you know, chalked in as a victory because the other team didn't do as well in the playoffs last year, because then you end up asking yourself questions all week about what happened, like the very passionate fans in Buffalo are having to do right now. I'm not gonna knock them. I mean, they have a passionate fan base. They really do. They were a little bit cocky going into this one, and it's kind of nice when you can put people in their place.
But, let them eat some humble pie.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and it might just be exactly what they needed. Okay. Wayne said I pronounced his name right, but I pronounced it two different ways, so I don't know which one was right. we got to do one more. Nate Drew says 31-13 Steelers. All right. So I'm excited. I'm ready to do this. I mean, I hate to say it. I feel this is a must-win game. You can't go into Buffalo and win that one and then come home and not take care of business when you're favored at home. So Steelers just got to take care of business. Anything else you want to say to close up here, Rich?
No, other than it's nice to be back into Steeler football. I will take a quick plug and say after the game on Sunday, check out my knee-jerk reaction article.
Oh, it was a good one this week.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah. Kyle and I were having a blast during the game, even though they were sucking at first. So,
yeah.
But, you know.
And people got to remember, these are knee-jerk reactions. There was someone who commented and said, oh, if you go back and see the replay, you missed the point of a knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah, it's not a replay. It is what spills out of my mouth right when something happens.
Bottom line is, if I'm not sitting on the couch next to you to watch, it's what you would be saying to me.
Yes.
That's what it is.
What it ends up being is what I'm saying to Kyle.
What you're saying to Kyle. So,
What Kyle's saying to me.
Hey, you all have been stepping up. Our podcast downloads are through the roof. We appreciate. We couldn't do this without you. I mean, no. Rich and I would still probably talk about Steelers stuff anyway, but it's not the same without you all.
It's a lot more fun.
Both listening on the audio side and participating in the live chat. If you are only a YouTube or Facebook person, you are missing so much other podcasts that we have and some really great stuff. If you're not part of the Ride or Die crew, you need to make sure you're checking out Jeff's Let's Ride on Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. I don't miss it. I'm part of the crew. Then I've got Stat Geek on Thursdays, Michael Beck on Tuesdays with the live mic. We've got noon shows. We got a whole lineup there. I don't want to go into all of them, miss them, because we're over our time because you guys gave us so many scores, which I'm not going to complain about one bit. Make sure you're checking out BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. It really is your one-stop shop for all things Pittsburgh Steelers. Lots of content. We're wrapping up from the coverage from the game this past week and transitioning into looking forward to the game coming up this week. Just let's be excited about the Steelers. Rich, we get to sit back, watch them play, get to see those terrible towels going at Heinz Field, hopefully get to hear that renegade in the background coming out of commercial, and we get to go for that 2-0. What do you think about that?
Oh, home opener. Can't wait.